Praise the Lord. God is very, very good to us. Doesn't that praise and worship just take you straight into the third heavens and just lifts you higher and higher? And so awesome. Father, I just thank you for what you're about to do. I thank you for the excitement that's in the air, the revival that's in the air. We give you praise for everything, how you're using us in this end time hour to change people's lives and to touch their hearts. Father, without you, none of this would be possible. And we just always give you the credit and the glory for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight I'm going to be talking about our current state of affairs. This is a pre-warning. This is a political message. So you're going to hear some things that you're probably like, what? You shouldn't be talking about this in church, but you need to know what's going on. And God put it on Pastor Barber's heart to have this brought out. So these things are being brought out for your benefit, edification, and also so that you know the truth. As you've seen from the press, they do not tell the truth about President Donald Trump. I was looking up some different things. I was going to bring this out as a handout, but I thought that would be too burdensome and cumbersome upon you. So I just thought I'd bring this out. There were 16 articles that the media put out last year about Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, and they were all false. Every last one of them. But if you don't do the background and check what they put out, you could believe it and take it for yourself. So, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 to 9 in the New King James Version. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. As prophetic people, we must be God's voice. Our voice, our opinion doesn't matter. The prophets must speak for God, not themselves. It doesn't matter what you have, what you personally feel about a situation. If God hasn't uttered it, then you as a prophet shouldn't either. Many prophets are missing their prophetic call to be separate and sanctified unto the Lord because they have learned to run in prophetic clusters. And don't get yourself in a cluster. This prophet is associated with this prophet, so they prophesy similar words. That prophet runs with that prophet, so together they prophesy an opposite word to what the other set of prophets has said. And it can goes on ad infinitum. It's best just to be your own man or woman of God. And if God speaks to one person something and another person something else, and it just happens to be the same, that's the best thing in the world. Not let's see what we think God is going to say to the body of Christ because we don't want to scare them. Or let's kind of manipulate the word of God to make it say something that it doesn't. And unfortunately, that's going on within the body of Christ in this time and season. There is not a clear, distinct sound coming from the prophets. And I believe this saddens God's heart. If an alarm is sounded from a group of prophets, another set of prophets feels it's their duty to undermine what was spoken by that group. And that's crazy. That is absolutely crazy. Then what do we have in the body of Christ? The true voice of God being minimalized and God's people not getting a true word from God. In other words, mass confusion. You know, I'm glad that God has always said that he wants his body to be well-rounded, which means there's a lot out there for us to know, but he doesn't want us to be lopsided in any way, shape, or form. So everything in the word, everything in the prophetic, there's a balance. And God has taught us that. And I'm excited about what he has done. I am going to be presenting the facts in regards to President Donald Trump, the political leaders in our country, and the media in our country. I want you to hear and judge what the Spirit of God is saying through these facts. I believe that God can speak for himself on matters that are directly involving his divine will for this earth, this nation, and his people. Now open with 1 Corinthians 13, 8-9, because it is a clear instruction that we don't see everything. And you got to remember that. Sometimes God will give you just a little piece of what's going on. And it's meant so that all of the prophets get together with their little piece, this little piece, that little piece, and then you get the whole picture. But sometimes a prophet will get that little piece and they refuse to listen to the other little pieces that go on. And God doesn't want us to do that. I open with 1 Corinthians 13, 8-9 because it is a clear instruction that we don't see everything as God sees it. And we need to seek God for proper interpretation of any prophecy. Let's look at 2017 in review. These facts were gathered in part by Johnny Enlow of Santa Clarita, California. The first full year being in office, President Donald Trump shook everything that could be shooken. A most sensational war has been prosecuted against President Donald Trump by the dominant media all year. Fake news and alternative facts are now household concepts and realities. You remember a day when you could not trust the newspaper? You could not trust the news media? You could actually look, oh, that's true. But now you can't today. You have to go fact check them and fact check them and fact check them. This, I posted this on my Facebook page. It's coverages of Trump's first 60 days delivered greater share of negative assessments than coverage of previous presidents. And I put this out public. I only got one response. And that was from Sister Grace. So no one wants to talk about the good things that President Trump is doing. But if you look, Clinton, in his first 60 days, received 28% positive press from the media. Make sure I'm getting now 27% positive. Bush received 22%. Obama received 42% positive within his first 62 days. And here's poor old President Trump, 5%. Are things not slanted? Yeah, they're slanted. Also, an overall vicious political atmosphere was in effect for the entire year. We have also had very extreme weather patterns as creation seemingly caught itself up in a turmoil of everything. Many severe weather stories became relegated as compared to the three big storms, Harvey, Irma, and Maria. And we all know the damage that they did. That each in its own way was a historical hurricane, which I have previously covered. And he had another article that he had posted out. Interestingly enough, in Zechariah 9:14 it says, "Then the Lord will appear over them, his arrow will flash like lightning, the sovereign Lord will sound the trump, and he will march in the storms of the south." The Hebrew word for the word lightning is barak, B-A-R-A-Q. It is no coincidence that this verse speaks of a time where the Lord intervenes with barak, B-A-R-A-Q, or Barack, as in the former President Obama. Then that he would sound the trump, or our current President Trump, and march in the storms and hurricanes of the South. God is neither Trump nor the hurricanes, but he is sounding the trump, and he has marched in on the hurricanes of the South. Put together the first letter of each storm that has occurred last year, and you have H-I-M. I thought that was pretty neat. In the seeming mayhem of it all, he is there. That's exciting. In 2017, we also experienced an almost unprecedented total solar eclipse that carried its own message. Then we had a constellation alignment. And we talked about the solar eclipse, but it went from the western part of the United States to the eastern part of the United States, and it covered seven different cities that were major areas of God doing something. Now, I didn't realize this until looked into this article here. God has given Pastor Barber Revelation 12 so many times over the last couple of years. It's crazy. But there was a sign, a constellation sign, that represented Revelation 12. And it occurred on Rosh Hashanah this year, September 23rd. I'm not sure if you can really see it well, but there's a woman inside of here, and it's given birth to a son. And I'll read the description. This is the sign of the woman clothed with the sun. The woman clothed with the sun. In Revelation 12, I believe that we are given a very important sign regarding the coming of the Lord. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet and upon her head, a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. Here I believe we see a symbolic picture of the nation of Israel, the woman, and the coming of the Christ child. I believe this symbolism appeared as a sign in the skies over Jerusalem in the alignment of the stars on Rosh Hashanah. Now, the first time that this occurred that they know of was 9/11, 3 BC, before Jesus Christ came. So they saw this star constellation, and now it's back again. That's exciting. Because now it's back again with the woman, Jerusalem, giving birth to Jesus Christ. If you look at the focus of things that's going on, Jerusalem, again, is in the news, is the head of everything that's going on, and Jesus Christ is coming back. Now, on that day, the constellation was Virgo, was clothed with the sun, and the moon was under her feet. Can you scroll up to that picture? No, back to the other one, I'm sorry. Right there. These constellations here is what they're talking about. Now, Virgo was clothed with the sun, and the moon was under her feet. Above her head, three planets, Mercury, Venus, and Jupiter. I believe, if I have this right, that they're talking about these three planets here above the woman's head. I may have that wrong, but this is the picture that they gave. We're in alignment with the star Regulus in Leo. Regulus was also in conjunction with Jupiter. Rosh Hashanah in 2017, on 9/20 to 9/21/17, Rosh Hashanah Virgo is clothed with the sun. The moon is not under her feet, but in close conjunction with the sun. See those two star constellations there. And there is an alignment of Jupiter to moon, Mercury, Mars, Venus, Regulus, with Venus in conjunction with Regulus. 3 days after this alignment on 9/23, Virgo is clothed with the sun. The moon is now under her feet, and above her head are three planets, Mercury, Mars, and Venus, which are in alignment with the star Regulus. The nine stars of Leo and the three aligning planets make the crown of 12 stars. It's kind of hard to see on here. Sorry about that. Somehow each of these once-in-a-lifetime events seemingly paled in comparison with the Harvey Weinstein effect that has seen literally hundreds of gatekeepers at the tops of all seven mountains, media, economy, government, education, family, and arts, and entertainment and religion forced from their stronghold positions. Does everybody know what the Harvey Weinstein effect is? No. Oh, very good. Well, let me tell you some things prophetically that God has said. He's going to be exposing people's sins. There were major media people, and Harvey Weinstein was one of them. They finally decided that him sexually harassing women, torturing women, and raping them was wrong. So they kicked him out of his business. If you've noticed, we've lost a lot of media people. They have been exposed. And God is not playing anymore with his women. He's allowing them to be vindicated and justified because the sins that the men have been doing against them, people are now listening and saying, this isn't right. So there is a slew of people that have been fired or have quit their jobs. This hit the House of Representatives. This hit the senators. This hit all of these different industries. People are just quitting, resigning, or getting fired. And some of them are even being criminally prosecuted. So he's saying that all of this is in effect and in relationship to what God is doing by bringing out the darkness. Now, somehow each of these once-in-a-lifetime events seemingly paled in comparison with the Harvey Weinstein effect that has seen literally hundreds of the gatekeepers at the tops of all seven mountains, media, economy, government, education, family, arts and entertainment and religion, forced from their stronghold positions. Suddenly and before our eyes, tsunami waves with a new cultural appetite for justice are vacating the high places and making room for the new. A line has been drawn in the sand. God's daughters will be better protected as they rise and shine. That's exciting. There's no more men oppressing women because God has started a precedence with all of these things being exposed. The accompanying storyline of the hit movie Wonder Woman is all interwoven into the new narrative of the day. A movie where not only were women positively highlighted, but the central star was an Israeli actress named Gal Gadot. No coincidence there either. It's awesome to know there's a scene in that movie that they have depicted where the men would not go forth into the battle because it was just so bad. And they had been holding this piece of territory or land for over a year. And Wonder Woman goes in and says, "We can do this." And she goes and puts her shield up, and they're shooting at her shield. And then the men rise up and say, "All right, she's taking all the bullets. She's taking all of the hits," which the women have been doing for a long time. Then the men go in advance and destroy the enemy stronghold. There's a lot of things that have occurred in the spirit realm that women have birthed forth, that women have sacrificed and put themselves out there on the front lines. And God is honoring them for that. But it's also causing the men to rise up and to be what God is calling them forth to be. So you're going to start seeing more and more women come out on the forefront and be recognized and honored for the sacrifices that they've made and for the things that they've given up for the body of Christ. 2018, war and victories. Ecclesiastes 3:8 says that there is a time for war and a time for peace. This is not the time for peace, but for war. We've had so many signs. The blood moons. Mars was evident in the heavens. That was a sign of war. All of the other prophetic words that God has been saying, signs of war. The purpose of this time of war is to regain that which was lost and to take promised land ground that was never entered into. It's been brought out. You know, it's time for the Joshua generation to rise up, and it's time for the Joshuas and the Calebs and go in and possess the land. This is what he's talking about. The enemy is always at war with us. This is a time for it to cease being one-sided, which means it's time that we take it back to him. God is surely anointing us for war, meaning he has great victories designed for us. This time for war has both a collective and individual application, and in both scenarios, the righteous must be bold as lions. There goes that righteousness again. If you don't have the righteousness, you're not going to be bold. Now let's look at this here. He talks about Saul, David, and Solomon, which he puts Obama, Trump, and next. I was shown that this significant season for the United States has many parallels with the season of the children of Israel went through with their first three kings, Saul, David, and Solomon. Right now, the church is split almost down the middle in its political opinions. And both sides are sure God is on their side. This is the most comical thing in the world. The split is often along racial lines as well. And it's awesome, but it's sad to see so many people, because of a person's skin color, reverse discriminate against somebody else. It's sickening, it's disgusting, but all of the false propaganda that has been put out against President Trump said he's a racist. None of it's true. Absolutely none of it is true. But because there's a little article stuck somewhere, someone takes it, spreads it, and it keeps going and going, and it never stops. And then when you try to talk to people, I talk to people all the time and say, did you verify where that article came from? No, I just saw it on BuzzFeed, or I saw it on on CNN. Do you realize that sometimes those people lie? And it is. It's like utter shock. Why would they do that? This racial thing is sickening to the heart of God, as he said this morning. And we as the body of Christ have to become. This is our family. This is it. You know, whatever your background or your origin is, we're brothers and sisters, and that's the end of it. That's where it should be. It is my observation that most of us will have adjustments to make in our thinking. Trump is uniquely ordained and anointed by God to lead the United States at this time. This I tell you not from a political perspective, but from a purely prophetic perspective. I want to insert a prophetic word that God gave Pastor Barber back in November 15, 2016. And I really think that this lines up with what Enlos has said. If my people would only humble themselves and pray, I can and will turn this United States around. Did I not declare that this is the year of Jubilee? Look into my word and see what I did for my people in the year of Jubilee. I will do the very same thing for you. My people, this year, this very year, I want to bless these United States. And I have chosen a man that I can work through to do this very same works. Have you not yet understood what is going on? See how the peoples are going to extremes about the man I chose. If he was not of me, the enemy would let him alone. Remember that 42% positive rating that Obama had in the thing? In 5%? If that doesn't tell you who was of God and who wasn't, based upon what this prophetic word is saying, make your own interpretation. Have you not figured that out yet? My people, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? Either I am God or I am not. Either I answer prayer or I do not. I save the best for the last. And just like I had David hidden in the background and then pulled him to the forefront, at my appointed time, so I have done with my son, Donald Trump. He has been in a training process all the years of his life. And now is his time to be brought forth, to do what he was born to do, and that is to be the man I use to pull America out of the slump she is in. At this given time, I am answering the prayers of the saints that have been standing in the gap for America for quite some time now. That's powerful. That's powerful. That's how much our God loves us to do this for us. And then there's people that we don't want him. He's president number 45. All of the dumb things that they say. Do you realize you just got your taxes cut? You're going to have more money in your pocket. I was reading another statistic, and they were talking about in the African-American community, the unemployment rate is dropping to nothing. This is how many jobs he has created. And it not only affects the African-American community, but this is how many jobs he's created for everybody. So how can you be a racist? It just does not make sense. Now, Obama as Saul. I believe that President Obama parallels Saul in the sense that he was the head and shoulders above everyone else and that he was the people's choice. He was the people's choice. The people's choice. However, like Saul, compromise was found in him that ultimately did not please the Lord. In the parallel analogy, we find Saul's last act being when he fell to the Philistines. In President Obama's last act, we see him capitulating to the Palestinians, modern-day Philistia, to the unjust detriment of Israel. He did more damage and more harm for our relationship with Israel, I'm talking about former President Obama, than any other president has done. There was wholesale bans on the word Muslim in the government. There were TV shows that were taken off the air because it talked negatively about Muslims. There were policies that were put in place that would favor Muslims. If you listen to President Trump, he's talking about the lottery system and how the immigration process has been working. There have been people who have come from Iran and all of the terrorist countries. They're full-blown, full-blooded terrorists. And we give them a number, and we pick it, and they say, oh, we're going to do a humanitarian deed, and we're going to allow you to come into our country. Don't blow us up. But here's a free access pass to go anywhere you want. And he's saying, no, let's stop this. But the church and the world are in agreement. We don't want truth and righteousness and justice. We don't want to protect ourselves. There's nothing wrong with protecting ourselves. President Obama was well-spoken, seemed to manage his family well, was an inspiration for blacks and minorities worldwide, but he still served more as a Saul than a David. Now, that is the opinion of Mr. Enlows. Trump is David. President Trump is as a David, specifically how David was as king. Whereas Saul was a man of the people, David was a man chosen by God. This is Enlows again. God spoke to me. I chose Trump because I know some things that none of you know. Donald Trump was divinely chosen and placed in power by God. But because we cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. David was a man of war from very young. He was never noted for his soft speech. Even in defeating Goliath, he yelled back at Goliath and upped the ante to the words Goliath spoke to him by having an even more vicious response. You uncircumcised Philistine. I'm going to get you. Y'all remember that in that story? He went through the whole camp. Come on, we can defeat this uncircumcised Philistine. That's bold. David was quite vocal in his disputes with his opponents. What's wrong with someone standing up for themselves and not letting themselves be run over? If it's not true, what is wrong with the man saying, it's not true? I didn't do this. I wasn't there. I wasn't a part of it. This whole scandal that's going on with the Russia thing that they're bringing out there and putting out there, do you realize that the Clintons had more contact, had given more money to the Russians than any other person in the world? But no one wants to look at that. They don't want to look at that. They want to look at one meeting that was a setup meeting And it was obvious that it was a setup meeting to try to pull this man down. And the most awesome thing about it in the world was he immediately realized that it was a trick and backed out of it. This is the truth. But they'll spin a story and spin it around and take a little bit out. And if you're not reading between the lines, if you don't have more than one source of news, you're going to believe it. Wow, he's a horrible person. No, he's not. He's being lied on. So, as with this attitude in his heart of David, these uncircumcised Philistines, the dumb fake news people in the media, why did we put up with that? Why do we not challenge our press to do a better job and to bring us the truth? Why do we support it? Why do we pay for it? Are we willingly wanting to be dumb? Something to think about. David was quite vocal in his disputes with his opponents. Also, as you read David's song of praise to God in 2 Samuel 22, you see his strong identity in his responses with war and with quenching his enemies. He spoke often of having to be defended by God because his enemies were many. Beginning in verse 38, he said, "I chased my enemies and destroyed them. I did not stop until they were conquered. I consumed them. I struck them so they did not get up. They fell beneath my feet. You placed my foot on their necks. I have destroyed all who hated me. They even cried to God, but he refused to answer. I ground them as fine as the dust of the earth. I trampled them in the gutter like dirt. Sovereign nations cringe before me. As soon as they hear of me, they submit. They all lose their courage and come trembling from their strongholds. He is God who pays back those who harm me. He brings down the nations under me." And that's 2 Samuel 22, 38 to 48. Those are the words of David. God has given us a true David. He's not a punk. He's not a wimp. And he's not going to take. And the amazing thing about the church is sometimes there will be a prayer release. Oh God, he's crumbling. We have to pray and hold him up because he's going to fall apart because he's so wimpy. That's not true. Look at him. He looks the same from the time he got in to today. Former President Obama dyed his hair to make it look gray, like he was up under so much stress because of all of the paint and the pains of the war that he was trying to get out from up under. He didn't do anything. But he wanted to look presidential. And people believed all of that. This is nothing to President Trump. He's used to being under this kind of stress. He's used to being under these types of situations. God knew what he was doing. You see, Trump has a similar call of God towards America's destiny as to what David had on behalf of Israel. Through Trump, God is drawing lines in the sand, even for entire nations. The recent vote against the USA and the United Nations has registered in heaven. Most of the nations chose to condemn Trump and the USA for stating that we would recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital, a fact that had already sanctioned in Congress over 20 years ago. But with no president that previously possessed the inner fortitude to stand up to the nations, he has an inner fortitude, an inner strength to say, "This is what we said we were going to do. We are going to honor our commitment." But he's being come against because of it. And it wasn't anything that he signed off on. This is 20 years old that we were supposed to have Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. We were supposed to have the... It's not the... The who? The embassy. The embassy was supposed to be in Jerusalem. So he's only fulfilling the promises. He's coming through doing what God has told him to do. Likewise, Trump's obedience to declare Jerusalem as Israel's eternal capital, as well as where we will now have our embassy located, resonated heavily in heaven. Because it is a time of war, Trump is called to be rough sandpaper for things God is surfacing to be dealt with. Because it is a time of war, Trump is called to be rough sandpaper for things God is surfacing to be dealt with. This is a leadership principle that some people have a hard time dealing with. Because there's some people that they need to be bumped, pushed, shoved. Once they get going, they're okay. But they need to be smoothed. They need to be, you know, there's a time for coddling people and babying them. But there's also a time, hey, if you don't do this, I'm going to kick you in the butt. Because I know you can do it. God told you you can do it. Stop playing around. Get on the job. Do it. President Trump has the ability to be able to see, all right, this one needs to be coddled. This one needs to be kicked in the butt. What's the difference? Allow the man to do his job. It was David who established Jerusalem as special, and he took it away from the Jebusites for good. It was David that made Israel strong and saw them defeat the Philistines, the Moabites, the Syrians, the Ammonites, and others. See 2 Samuel 8. It was win after win as he took on those nations. It was David that made Israel extremely wealthy, and from that wealth was able to contribute literally billions of dollars worth of resources to the building of the house of God that Solomon would build. Here comes the wealth of the wicked. From David. Presently, Trump has the assignment to have Israel and Jerusalem protected and strengthened, as well as the assignment to make America great in resources and in military might. The military might establishes and assures that nations are oppressed, that nations that are oppressed by despots may have freedom. It is the church that carries the tabernacle of David, part of the assignment to bring in the presence of God to it all. David was a worshiper. So what has God done? He's changed the worship. There's a tie, there's a parallel together. So we got new leadership, we got new worship. God's going to start moving. God is moving now. Not starting, he's moving now. David was not primarily a man of peace. He was not a man of soft words. He had trouble and betrayal around him seemingly at all times. Goliath was his most famous adversary, and he was the big mouth who froze Israel for 40 days as he took over the airways. Goliath represents the media, and David had to tame him before the Philistines could be routed. Ultimately, all his enemies were decimated because they came against him, the one anointed by God for a special mission, a special mission that took into account his failings. In David's day, if you assumed you could bash him and be against him because of his failings, you would be fighting against God. If you don't get anything out of what's being said tonight, if you fight against President Trump, you're not fighting against him. You're fighting against God's plan. And God is going to come against you. Next is Solomon. I believe that after President Trump will be a leader who will encompass the best aspects of King Solomon. I looked for it and I couldn't find it, but God has spoken to Pastor Barber and said that President Trump is going to serve two terms. So read into this what you need to. So the next Solomon person. I believe that after President Trump will be a leader who will encompass the best aspects of King Solomon. Solomon, which means peace, of course, was David's son, and it was he who was commissioned to build the house of God. David wanted to do that as well, but was told that he was a man of war with some blood on his hands, not qualified for that assignment. Solomon was the man who asked for wisdom and then reigned in peace and prosperity during his time as king. This will be the assignment for the next president of the U.S. United States of America. And I believe it is somewhat obvious of who it is supposed to be. He carries peace and wisdom even now, and his last name is actually peace, except for one letter being different. Solomon enjoyed the advancements that David made for him and for Israel. Israel was now strong enough that surrounding enemies didn't dare move on Israel because they remembered what happened under David. There was peace by strength, not peace by negotiating prowess. This is important. You can say all day long that we're going to blow you up and we're going to nuke you, but if you're downsizing your own military, if you're restricting the rules of combat and the rules of engagement to they actually have to shoot at you and hit three people before you can shoot back, which was some of the dumbness that they had going on under former President Obama, we lost so many people because of the dumb rules of engagement that he started. President Trump, finger on the button. But that's enough to intimidate and to cause people to think, do I really want to mess with him? Do I really want to mess with this country? He's boosting the military. He's building it back up. There's new aircraft carriers being built. There's new airplanes being built. The military is getting raises. The things that they have deserved all of these years, the things that they were stripped away from under former Obama, he is restoring. He's restoring honor back to the White House. He's restoring honor back to law enforcement. There's so many good things that President Trump is doing, and it's not fair and right that the church and the world have the same mindset that he's not of God. As long as wickedness abounds in the nations of the world, God will be using peace by strength. Also, because of the unprecedented prosperity, the nations and the Queen of Sheba came to see Solomon in Israel. Israel and the United States have an overlapping joint destiny, and the future for both is perhaps unmatchable prosperity. So a time of peace is coming for America, but until that does come, we must access that peace internally and become the ministers of reconciliation that we are called to be. Now I want to interject another prophetic word that God gave Pastor Barber about President Trump. This was given November 4th, 2017. The church is moving into a new dispensation of holiness. And this holiness will thwart the darkness that is invading the White House and my son, President Donald J. Trump. He is doing all I am commanding him to do to tear down wickedness in high places, and he has stepped right into the rattlesnake's den of conspiracy. This holiness that my true children will walk in will invade this darkness that is trying to destroy the works of light, and it will invade the White House grounds, and it will keep my son safe as he administers my commands for this nation. My true believers will see a turn of the tide, and it will be for the better. For my angelic hosts have been sent forth in full army array to fight off the League of Darkness that is in the battle array around the White House. Dominion after dominion will fall at this given time, and darkness will take a terrible blow, and it will not recover from this blow. My lights must proceed forth into this darkness, undaunted by what they see or hear. Prayer centrals have been set up all across this great nation called America, and these prayer centrals will do a tremendous damage to the dark side. Pray without ceasing is my order of the day. All my true intercessors must get before my face for direction on what to pray for and how to pray for the given situations. I am on the move, and you shall see nation after nation of darkness tumble and fall, never to recover ever again. You shall see the giant monsters fall, and I will raise up anointed men and women to go forth and guide the nations into my holiness. Believe me, this is truly a time of tremendous warfare. Again, another confirmation. But my kingdom shall come out victorious. Keep going. Don't stop, for you have just begun the greatest journey of your life in me. Pray for your president and his staff, especially pray for his wife and family. The enemy has plans to bombard them and overtake, but if you will pray, none of his tactics will flourish. This is a mighty nation that Satan has tried to destroy, but he could not and will not. For my hands of blessing are upon this nation, and all will see that I love America, and I have brought reformation to this great country. It's a powerful prophetic word, but it really summarizes and encapsulates everything that God is doing in this end time hour. And you want to be on the same page with God. You want to be doing what needs to be done so that you can be on the very tip of the sword. Back to Enlow's last word on Trump. A trumpet sound comes in to signify that a great change is here. Even the last trump of 1 Corinthians 15 is to announce that we shall all be changed. God is sounding his trump and he is saying time for change. A time of war means a time of change. It means conquest time. Perhaps the most overused prophetic term is breakthrough, and it will probably be in several different prophetic words for 2018. It is used so much that it seems to have lost its value. However, this year the Lord really does have breakthroughs that he wants to hand out as party favors everywhere. It is appropriately enough that King David encountered him as the Lord of breakthroughs. In 2 Samuel 5:20, he tells how the Lord delivered the Philistines into his hands, and so he named the place Baal-perazim, which means Lord of breakthroughs, as he proclaimed, "The Lord has broken through my enemies." This, in fact, what God does have for each and every one of us as we embrace the season, the leadership, and the assignment he has placed before us. He goes on to give some words about Wall Street. For those reading this whole word, you will already know that I will speak positively of the stock market. However, to accommodate those who just scroll down to this part, let me make it clear that I do think the market can still go up substantially as one of the signs of economic health and prosperity. I do not believe that the market overall is overpriced, and I see it going up to 30,000 in Trump's day, and that may not even be its limit. There will be a great boost to the economy from the new tax laws, as well as from Trump's economic declarations. Many of you have heard that it will be bad for the poor or middle class. Many of you have heard that it will be bad for the poor or middle class. We'll soon have firsthand proof that this is not true. You remember when we first heard about the tax cuts, I said, beware of the false news that's going to come out saying it's going to hurt the poor. It's not. It really isn't. You are a victim of distorted news. It is a season of profound reformation. Cryptocurrencies. The Bitcoin and an apparent tsunami of cryptocurrencies are all the rage right now. I know that many are fearful that the dollar is going to collapse, and so that fear motivation has them looking for another, more stable currency. There is nothing stable about any of the cryptocurrencies. All currencies are ultimately fiat currencies, and there is no getting around that. The only stable currency on the planet is trust in God. All other currencies, whether dollar, gold-based, or blockchain-based, contain some unknowable measure of volatility. Just watch how the Bitcoin jumps up and down daily, and you will know that it is an extremely volatile fiat currency of its own. Wealth transfer. A coming great wealth transfer is talked about a lot in our circles. Great resources are being released in this season into the house of God. But your stewardship with your first level of breakthrough will determine if you get the ultimate upgrade you were designed to step into. And that's very important, so I'm going to read that again. Great resources are being released in this season into the house of God. But your stewardship with your first level of breakthrough will determine if you get the ultimate upgrade you were designed to step into. So, if you're not watchful, and if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, the great wealth transfer could occur, and you could miss it. You could miss it. Stewardship is very, very important. And I'm not only talking about tithes. I'm talking about your time. I'm talking about the things that you're supposed to be doing for God. If you're not faithful, if you're not a good steward with those things, God's not going to give you more. He needs to be able to trust you at all times and in all ways. He needs to be able to trust you with his souls. Are we properly taking care of the souls that he's put in our hands to take care of? He's looking at all of that. In the same way you analyze stocks and markets to determine investment intelligence, you need to be looking around at all that goes by the name Christian and discern what is actually a good kingdom soil for you to sow into. Many of you will find your future financial harvest determined by your ability to discern what is a good priority for you to sow into now. Israel and Jerusalem. I already spoke into this in measure, but just to say again that Israel, Jerusalem is of highest priority of heaven right now. Highest priority. The recent recognizing of Jerusalem as a capital and the subsequent rejection of that by most nations will resonate for a long time. Obadiah 1:15 says, As you have done it to Israel, it will be done to you. This will begin to play out in increasingly obvious ways, providing instruction to the nations of the world as to our God's ways. Disrespecting Israel is like disrespecting a mother. God just doesn't sanction it, no matter how imperfect the mother. Israel, because of God's covenant with Abraham, became our parent for every good thing, including the eternal life that came to us through He who is a descendant of Abraham. Without Abraham and Israel, there is no Jesus, as Mary and Joseph were both Israelites. So yes, Palestinians are also beloved of God, but their land rights are preceded and superseded by Israel's right to the land that God covenanted to Abraham and Israel forever. When that is not respected, it is not just a dishonoring of Israel, but a dishonoring of God. North Korea. I believe that President Trump has been anointed to keep pressure on Kim Jong-un until he breaks one way or the other. It is time for a new One Korea, and that is South Korea-based. A One Korea will have a major role in the world harvest. I was sharing with Pastor Barber that in the class that I took last semester, there was an article that they gave us to read, and it was about North Korea, and I never knew this until this professor brought this out. North Korea was responsible for one of the greatest revivals that ever hit the entire world. And because it went dark, it went to the Antichrist spirit. You see what's happening. When you lose land, when you lose territory, the enemy comes in and he totally takes it over and destroys it. So, don't know what God's going to do, how he's going to do it, but think about that. Anointing upon anointing, healings, the whole, this picture of mass revival that touched the whole world in a place now that's totally communistic, socialistic, and demonic. If you lose God, if God leaves you, what is going to happen to you? Two more and then we're done. Iran, whereas Kim Jong-un is like the reactive, rebellious teenager that lets you know everything he is thinking. Iran and its leadership are more sinister and are long-term dangerous, specifically since they are empowered by a strong anti-Semitic and anti-Christ principality. President Trump is also called to circle around them with pressure and more pressure until they too are dealt with. Dealing with Iran is part of the protect and honor Israel assignment that we carry as a nation. There is a great on-fire underground church in Iran that is becoming a game changer in that nation. They will eventually flip the nation from goat to sheep nation. That's powerful too. Family breakthroughs. One of the areas where we will see great breakthroughs in 2018 is in the area of family. Beyond what I can explain, a great grace for family is being made available, and we will find family and the mountain of family greatly affected in a positive way. Somehow, the overall climate of conflict is going to be conducive to allowing God in at a new way in relationships. The present new sensitivity to women is a precursor to this, and this whole dynamic will be a treasure to look for in 2018. Many delayed relational promises will find a happy ending in 2018. And think about this. As God restores the fathers get right with the wives. The wives and the fathers are right so the children can get right. So God can bring the spirit and the anointing of Elijah back and really do what he wants to do in this end time hour. All of it's key. Without him, we can do nothing. But with him, literally all things are possible. This is the faith, hope, and love we are to set ourselves to. And we can anticipate a 2018 of great victories and multiple breakthroughs. He is a Lord of breakthrough, and happy is the one who puts his trust in him. As you do, a great 2018 is secured for you. Set your mind to prosper. Father, I just thank you for the words that you put upon Mr. Enloe's heart. I thank you for the anointing to be able to bring the truth about what's going on in the political arena to your people. I pray that as these seeds go forth in this end time hour, that it would produce great fruit for you. I pray, Father God, that even more wisdom, knowledge, and understanding would come forth. And that our president, President Trump, would just feel the prayers of the saints. He would feel a greater anointing to be able to go forth and conquer and destroy and to be himself, to be the person that you created him to be. And Father, we thank you for this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar call is going to be for breakthrough. God is bringing breakthrough to you. If there's been a particular area that you know you have been struggling with, as you come to the altar tonight, God is going to send that angel of breakthrough to push you forth and to thrust you forth into that new season.